Simon Hasty has written in.
Someone pasty.
Exactly what you just said.
Season 2, Episode 17. Jono and Matt are in the studio room. Ed is in the diary room, complaining that Big Brother won't give him any raises for his bald head.
Welcome, guys, to Lug Radio, Season 2, Episode 17.
Welcome to Lug
Radio. My name's Matthew Revelle, that bloke there.
I am Jono Bacon.
And with that bloke with there. A foolish, foolish beard.
Oi, shut up!
Better than your pathetic excuse for fucking chin real estate.
Chin real estate? You just made that up.
That man is called
by
a
by the way, this show could actually contain some swearing.
May do.
Be known.
And adult themes.
But I tell you what, it
doesn't might
contain some language, but no language.
No, it doesn't contain any ginger, which is
no ginger.
This
radio
is a ging-free zone.
Fucking ging-free zone.
I'm in Venice.
Yep, he's in Venice, the Amsterdam of the
good
South,
Lord,
as they call
Venice.
It.
Good Lord!
Did you like the Amsterdam of the South quip?
You know, he'll get to the hotel and they'll ask him for his passport, and he'll say two things.
First off,
anyway, what are we going to talk about?
Two things: you're fat and you're ginger.
Who are we interviewing, Mr. Johnny?
I no compromise. no compromise in my hotel room.
Ralph Giles.
Sith.
That's right.
The Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith. And you know.
we have Darth Dapeth.
Oh, fucking hurt.
Darth Dapeth.
Darth Dapron.
No, Darth Dapeth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna have. I've completely forgotten what I was gonna say.
Pull it together.
Ralph Sith from Giles.
We've done that bit.
Bill Giles, the weatherman.
Yeah, no.
We're going to talk about a new open source operating system called FOSS.
Yeah, FOSSOS.
Yeah.
FOSSOS.
Yes.
Yeah.
FOSSOS.
No, FOSSOS. You FOSSOS.
Anyway. Hey, FOSSOS.
We're going to talk about...
Quad deck, yeah.
Well, it was cool. Very cool, in fact. It was
you
so
actually
cool.
Got some free beer.
It was so cool, my dick froze off.
Wow.
Adult themes. We're going to talk about... should we start from scratch and create a new operating system?
Yeah, FOSSOS.
Should we?
So we said that.
Yeah.
Let's just get on with it, shall we?
No. Before though, we've got to warn people. There's some very exciting news at the end.
Yeah, there is.
Oh,
this is great news.
Is this going to be like a cliffhanger, Rooney?
It's worth hanging around.
It's a Rooney cliffhanger.
Ooh.
So yes, you've got to hang around to the end. If nothing else,
let's get this word on a show.
People aren't going to hang around. They're just going to fast forward.
Yeah, you bastards.
Right,
go
on
to about 50 minutes in.
So let's do it. Hog files are pretty cool, aren't they?
No.
Oh, yes.
In what way are they cool?
I think they're just awesome.
Sub-Zero.
I prefer them to...
I think they're good. I don't think they're cool.
I prefer them to trousers.
If you had a Jeremy Clarkson cool wall, they wouldn't be cool. They'd
do
be
what?
Good.
They're functional.
Let's get it from the horse's mouth.
Let's speak to...
Giles.
An individual who's known as Giles.
Ralph Giles.
Ralph Giles. And we're going to talk to him.
That's from Mr. Ralph Giles to you, Mr. Fucker.
It's a very English name, isn't it?
Good
for
Lord,
Americans?
Yes. Hello, my name's Ralph. I like doing og.
Is it? Yeah.
Thank
is
you
it,
for that.
Nobody
is
talks
it,
like that.
Is he American or is he Canadian? They all sound the same to me.
Let's ask him about that.
So, yes, Mr. Ralph Giles, we're going to talk to him. He's the Theora maintainer, and
yeah.
He's a very interesting chap, so here we go.
Hello.
Hi, Ralph, this is Jono from Lug Radio.
Welcome.
Hi, Connor.
Hola.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. So, what? So tell us what you do for Ziff.
So, I've done quite a few things for Ziff. Package management, I was a release manager, for a while when we had a release manager.
Right.
The main things I do are in the maintainer of the Theora video codec.
Yeah.
And I worry about metadata and overlays and things like that.
Superb. So what are you actually working on at the moment? What kind of stuff are you working on?
I'm here in Barcelona visiting the window people, and the main thing we're trying to work out is a way to embed still images and sequences of images in OGG files.
Right.
So, for example, when you're doing streams of talks like we did last week at the Guadec thing,
okay.
It's easy to see the speaker talk, but you can't ever read their slides because what you've got is a little sort of small, blurry webcam image of it. And what we'd like to do is take the output of the slide directly from their program and just send you a copy of the whole slide. So we're trying to work out a specification for that so we can start writing software.
Just going back to where you mentioned OGG files, this is just one of the things that you guys work on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's our main multimedia format.
So okay.
It's, Most people know it as OGG files, as music files, or a replacement for MP3, but you can really stick a lot of different things in there, audio, video, text, subtitles, whatever you like.
Oh, right, I didn't realize that. How important do you think it is to get hardware devices that play back OGG files?
I think it's very important.
I think it's really important.
Yeah, I mean,
how do we go about that?
I'm sorry?
How do we go about that? Is the big question.
Right. Well, I mean, we make it easy, right? It's free software. You download it, you put it on your device, you sell it, it's no problem. But I guess I should say open source software, because there's
You've
no GPL requirement
board,
for our codec implementations. But really it has to be people calling up and saying, you know, I've got these great OGG files, I want to be able to play on my portable player, and how can you help me? We've got pretty good adoption from some players, but others, particularly Apple with their iPod, have been resistant.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got to come from customer demand, otherwise they're not gonna be interested.
Okay. Does it really though? Because I mean, WMA obviously didn't necessarily
come from customer demand. Yeah, I suppose you could look at that. But I mean, we're a volunteer open source organization. We're not going to have Microsoft's money to spend on trying to convince Apple.
Sure.
So.
Basically, I mean, let's take a step back, as seems to be a favourite phrase of ours. Why do we need OGG? Why do we need to have an open standard for multimedia? Why can't we just use MP3 and QuickTime and things like that?
Are you playing
well, the problem with all those formats, I mean, QuickTime in particular tends not to be publicly documented. So it's very difficult to implement in free software. But the main problem with, I mean, sort of the standard for multimedia is what's produced by the MPEG standards group. And they made MP3, and they made the MPEG 2 video standard that's used on DVDs. And
yeah,
MPEG
yeah.
4 is really popular now. And they're good in that they do publish specifications, but you have to pay money to get them. But
yeah,
the real problem is their internet, their intellectual property agreement says that you have to be able to get a license to it, but they can charge you money for implementing it.
Yeah.
And that's fundamentally incompatible with open source software. So, I mean, individual users can get away with, you know, using MP3 without paying the royalties they're owed, but if you're going to try and distribute stuff on a large scale, build your own music store with free music, or just build a music store with open source software, then you have a problem. So
how difficult would it be to, if I was making a music device, a music player, how easy would it be to get OGG licensing?
Well, it's very easy to get an OGG license. You go to ZIF.org and you download the source code, and now you have an OGG license.
Oh, okay. That easy.
So with MP3, well, you can go and download the source code because there are open source implementations of it.
Yeah, sure.
But then you have to call up mp3licensing.com and tell them how many songs you sold, and then they'll send you a bill.
Just moving the discussion onto Fiora, I mean, obviously this is something you know a lot about. What are the primary design objectives for Fiora?
Well, the primary design objective was to have an alternative to the MPEG video standards.
Right.
And I think we've done a good job with that. One thing we've done, our main thing is to have a free thing, free video format, so that you don't have to pay royalties like you do with MPEG 4 and MPEG 2, but we also try and make it technically competitive.
And is that on, you know, in the same way that Vorbis files are, they're better quality and they're smaller? Is the same intention
with Fiora?
Yeah,
we're quite a bit better than MPEG 2. We're not as good as the latest batch of MPEG 4 encoders.
Right.
But I think also the way it's happened with Vorbis is MPEG also has the AAC, the Advanced Audio Coding Standard.
Sure.
And when it came out, it was better than MP3 and about as good as Vorbis, and then it got even better, and then we made Vorbis better. And so right now I think Vorbis is better than AAC. And so I think the same thing's going to happen to Fiora. We've built in a lot of scope for improving the encoder, and so I think we're going to continue to leapfrog.
Yeah.
With MPEG 4, just the way we have with MP3.
There was when I was at Guadec, there was an interesting talk by the guys who were working on Dirac.
The BBC Research.
I mean, is there any kind of collaboration going on between yourselves and the BBC?
We talk to them occasionally. We don't have a real direct relationship. We've thought about it a little bit. I mean, Dirac's very much a next-generation codec. It requires more computing resources than most people have for playback right now, but in a couple of years it's going to be sort of the latest and greatest thing.
Right, yeah.
And so what we're hoping is that the BBC will see fit to grant free use to everybody of the codec. Awesome. They've said that they will, but that's a little different from actually doing so.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. They'll just take their time, I think.
I mean, looking at things like the BBC, it brings to mind for me, you know, the whole Windows Media Center and all these converged media devices that we're meant to be getting in our living rooms shortly, and all the silly little video player things that you can get, portable devices and everything.
Right.
Where does OG sit in all of that? I mean, I know that we've got Myth TV and everything, but are we going to be able to have maybe a commercially supported hardware multimedia device that runs Theora and Vorbis and FLAC and everything?
Right. I mean, we're certainly working with some vendors, like Nokia's internet tablet as an example, to yeah. try and make that happen.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah, it would be great. I would love to be able to buy things like that. And, I mean, people are building open source, you know, video recorders and so on with Myth TV, which supports Vorbis and Theora.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting question. I mean, we're just an open source project, so we don't have the resources to build our own thing. And we've so far concentrated just on making the technology available and hope that other people will come and use it. But I think we need to take a more active role in getting stuff done because the world hasn't beat a path to our door to our satisfaction so far.
And in terms of the open source project, I mean, is it a prosperous project or is there, you know, how many developers are involved with it and how quickly does the project move along?
Well, I mean, multimedia codec design is hard. There's not a lot of people in the world who can really do it well. So we have a lot of people who help out with tools, but the people who have been able to do the codec stuff, there's only about 10 or so people who've been involved over the last 5 or 6 years. And so we have people come and go. Right now we could actually use a lot of help. Most of the current generation of people have graduated from college and gone on to jobs and so on, and so there's only a few of us doing active work. But there have been other times when we've been quite flush with help and have lots of good people around.
Cool. So you mentioned multimedia codec design being quite difficult there. In terms that would be understandable to people who aren't necessarily genius hackers.
Us, basically.
Yeah, in terms of understandable to us. Can you explain kind of how one goes about taking a load of analog noise or light and colours and things like that and turns it into a bit stream that is a lot smaller than, say, a CD or just a 16mm cine film?
Right. I mean, the first step, of course, is to digitize the analog source, and there's lots of hardware that does that, and that basically takes, you know, I mean, on the tape you have an analog waveform, the voltage goes up and down and up and down, and you just say, okay, at this point the voltage is this, and this point the voltage is this, and that gives you a series of numbers. And that's something you can put in the computer and start to work with.
Hmm.
And the thing that makes multimedia compression work is that you can use sort of advanced math to transform and abstract parts of the signal, parts of that series of numbers, in a way that you can represent more efficiently in the computer. So instead of saying, you know, the voltage is here, here, and the voltage is here, here, and so on ad nauseum, you can say, you know, well, here are the important frequencies in this part of the song.
Yeah, right. Just going
and
back to that.
You can regenerate that at the other end.
On the sound point of view, obviously you can cut out the parts that the human ear can't hear. Can you do the same kind of thing with video?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Our understanding of what you can do with video is a little more primitive than our understanding of audio. But you can do a lot of things that are pretty well understood where, you know, there's usually something in the video that you're focusing on, and so you can make the background a little blurrier and people won't notice. Things that are moving quickly are really hard to see and often motion blurred anyway, so you can spend less time encoding those. And so you just really concentrate on the things that draw the eye.
Right, yeah.
One thing that I read about with some horror a few months ago was that Microsoft are trying to push one of their Windows Media codecs as the next generation format for digital
TV,
for HDTV.
Standard.
What the hell can we do in the face of that sort of thing?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it's very difficult to get, you know, movie studios to agree to release their films in a free format because they're all about control. And they're not all about free software and letting people do what they want.
So we need to build some kind of DRM into it then?
Yeah, well, we need DRM that they'd like. We already have DRM. It's really simple. You put a flag in the file that says, don't play this.
Okay.
Yeah, it works. It's fine. It's exactly as technically effective as all the other DRM schemes. But you have to convince Hollywood that that's the case. And when they hear open source, they run away. Cool. We talked a little bit about the Chinese effort to build a new DRM scheme. Oh. Or it's not a new DRM scheme, I'm sorry, a video disc format. And it turns out they weren't really interested in Warbus. They had something else in mind
right.
as far as the technical goals.
It's a disease,
but,
huh? But
they are considering the VP3 format, which is related to Fiora and also published and free to use.
What's that? What kind of format is that?
VP3 is a codec that was donated to ZIF and became Fiora, so it's sort of a more primitive version of the Fiora video codec.
Oh, right, I see.
So that is compatible with open source implementation, and Fiora players would be able to play it back.
Again, moving the discussion on, again, we seem to say this a lot in interviews. One of the most inspiring talks that I saw at Guadec was the one done by Edward from Fluendo, the PitiV talk.
The video editor.
The video editor. And it got me thinking, you know, whenever I use Linux for multimedia purposes, I always think that codecs are a pain. They always feel like they're a pain. You've either got to download some Windows codecs from a site like Marilat, which the reason why they're there and not in Ubuntu or Debian is because there's potential legal issues.
That's right.
But it seemed like PitiV is going to, and GStream is easing the process of adding codecs to your system and making them more accessible. Is there a lot of work between the GStreamer guys and ZIF to try and basically make this process more sort of streamlined?
Yeah, the GStreamer guys have been great. I mean, the great thing about having a good framework like GStreamer is it hides a lot of the details about what codec you're using.
Sure,
and
then
having good free media creation tools on free software means that people can create stuff in free formats really easily.
Yeah.
And then people don't have to worry about it, and everybody can play it easily. So they've been a great help, I think, in terms of building good tools and getting good integration with operating systems.
They seem like a really cool bunch of people.
They're awesome. They're really bright, and they're really doing great stuff.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to be working with them.
I wasn't sure how many people actually work at Fluendo, because there seems to be tons of people wearing the T-shirts. But then I saw Christian Schaller wandering around giving them out for free.
he did some advertising.
Or marketing, as we like to say.
Yeah, there's sort of 6 to 10 people working at Fluendo at any one time. They're a pretty small startup size right now.
And in terms of with your work with ZIF, have you had any approaches from commercial organizations looking to make use of the technology, or is it predominantly just been literally the open source project?
Well, the thing with multimedia today is we have, you know, the major content production areas like Hollywood and the recording industry are all about DRM and control, and they're not really doing digital music or video distribution yet.
Right.
And because of that, I think stuff's sort of locked up in proprietary standards. A lot of people are they're willing to listen to companies who say, "Oh yeah, we're gonna, you know, if you go with us, we'll do things." So you have Apple and you have Microsoft trying to control what media format people use things in. But all of those people want to charge money, of course, for their services, and that's why we've created the free alternative. And where that free alternative is really getting used, besides free software, is like game companies. Because game companies are sort of a new 21st century media format, and they're looking at the issues from a business point of view, and they're saying, well, we don't own these things, we don't have an agenda, we can use whatever we like, so why would we pay extra money to use somebody else's codec when there's this free thing available? So there's more than 40 games that have shipped with Warbus as their primary music support, and a couple now have used Fiora for their cutscene video.
For what platforms?
For the Xbox, for PC games.
Cool.
I think there's a couple on the GameCube. We've ported to the PlayStation.
That's awesome, man.
Excellent.
It's been our Speaks, our voice over IP codec, has been used for Xbox Live.
Oh, really? Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so we did some special modes to do voice disguising, so, you know, girls can play online without getting teased and things like that.
Oh, I wouldn't tease them.
It's funny, I mean, Microsoft ships Vorbis for their audio in Halo 2.
Awesome.
Microsoft has shipped 2 million copies of the Vorbis audio codec, and it's because it's cheaper and it's easier for them to use than their own technology.
That's brilliant. You got any other examples like that would stun and amaze our listeners?
Other big games that have used this is the Unreal Engine has had support for Vorbis for quite a few years, and they've added support for Fiora, although I don't know that it's been used in a released game yet.
So do you think Microsoft will be shipping OGG with their next Windows Media Player?
Well, we've been trying.
Yeah.
It's difficult to attract, you know, Windows developers. Because we're all open source people, we don't want to have to deal with it. But we've got a good set of a good implementation of our stuff for Windows now. So the next step is to get it on Microsoft servers.
Cool.
Cool. So we're going to have to wrap things up now, but just one last question. On the Star Trek Enterprise, yeah, what sort of media codecs did you reckon they'd be using there? Basically, what I'm asking is, what's it all going to look like in the future, the whole media codec situation?
In the far future. Well, it's hard to say. I mean, as networks get faster, compression becomes less important.
Yeah.
But as computers get faster, compression gets, you know, cheaper. It doesn't take as much effort to squeeze more out of the network.
Right.
So I think it's going to be some kind of dynamic code thing where your media player will be able to just go find an implementation of whatever compression technology you happen to be using for a particular file, and it's all just going to work. It wouldn't really matter who did what.
Yeah.
I think the main thing that has to be decided is, you know, what we have to wait for free formats to win, like they have with everything else involving the internet.
Should we fight? Yeah.
Cool.
This is well. Thank you very much for coming on the show, and it's
the work.
It's undisputed the fact that you guys are doing some really important work.
Very
so
important. Yeah.
Keep up the great work and enjoy your time over in Barcelona, and we'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Great. Thanks for having me. And I hope everybody's listening to this in OG.
Oh.
Yeah.
We in fact, I think most of our downloads are definitely OGs.
Excellent.
So.
Excellent, nice to be with him, RSS.
Take care then.
Cheers, Ralph.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
That was pretty interesting.
It was fascinating, wasn't it?
I think it's a good point at the end there where he said, as computers get more and more advanced, we're going to not even gonna need compression. Because storage and processing speed will pick up so much.
Yeah, possibly, but then we'll always want to squeeze more onto the massive storage we've got.
I always want to squeeze a bit more on it.
It's the same thing, you know, like years ago when you were...
Not going to do the Hovis thing again, are
you? Hey, fucking years ago.
No, you know, like years ago when you had 640K.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember when
that's more than enough for anyone.
I remember when I got my first 1 megabyte memory module on my PC. And I was like, that's fantastic. And I was thinking, I can squeeze so much in there. And my 40 meg hard drive.
I remember having a 10 meg hard drive.
All right, let's not go down memory lane.
Sorry.
I tell you what else was just awesome.
What?
Halo 2?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Oh,
right?
Man.
What did he mean that it's cheaper for Microsoft to use?
Yeah, because you think they must cross-charge themselves or something.
I love the fact that they use Speaks as well for the bloody Xbox Live. That's just awesome. Absolutely
it's,
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is...
Do you think they know?
What?
Microsoft? They made a conscious decision to do that.
Possibly.
Or do you think they've just...
I definitely know. but I think the Ziff people need to really tell the world more about this. I mean,
that's what concerned me a little bit. He was saying, hey, people haven't beaten a path to our door, blah, blah, blah. We haven't, you know, we're just an open source project. And I was thinking, they needed someone to do a bit of marketing. What they need is they need to shout
about
it.
It's an open source project.
Maybe they should
donate
your time. I know.
Matt, this is your calling. In fact, people, send in your emails and encourage Matt to go and... market something he doesn't understand.
Maybe they should.
I'm only joking.
Jono, maybe they should be at Guardek.
Guardek.
You seem to mention that quite a few times, just.
Yeah, your name dropper. Bastard.
Guardek was brilliant.
Was it?
It was.
Tell us what it is. For those
Guardek is the GNOME user and developer.
It's nothing
conference.
To do with avocados, is it?
It's got nothing to do with avocados or other assorted fruit.
So basically it's where all the GNOME desktop
people... Is it avocado fruit?
I don't know. I think it's a
fruitable.
It's a fruitable, that's what I was trying to think of.
It's a root. Anyway, what is it? It's where all the GNOME people get together.
Yeah.
Where little GNOMES get together.
Oi. I wasn't invited. So anyway.
It's basically the GNOME conference.
Okay.
It was...
What does it stand for?
GNOME User and Developer
Conference.
European Conference.
Brilliant.
And there was a lot more people there than I was expecting. I was expecting sort of about 50 people, 60 people, and there was...
So how many rooms?
There's 200. There's four rooms.
Okay.
There's probably about 200 or 300 people went.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
There's a massive, main sort of lecture theatre.
The Königshalle.
And, it was just fascinating. There's tons of really interesting talks. The highlight was probably, one of the highlights was Seth Nichols, who obviously we had in the show.
Yep.
He did an interesting talk saying we should rethink the way we sort of architect the GNOME system. And then, quite ironically, Miguel de Casa did his interview, his keynote,
okay.
Which obviously he was on the show as well. And then he basically said, you know, we shouldn't really think about all this next generation stuff. Let's just make a good desktop. So it's kind of two sides of the coin.
So really, it was like a Lug Radio after party.
And Mark Shuttleworth did a speech. He's been on it.
Mark Shuttleworth.
Jeff Woch.
Yeah.
On it as
what
well.
Is he good for?
J-Dub did a very rousing speech with the whole 10x10.
Yeah,
J-Dub.
So yeah, that's Jeff Waugh.
Before we get on to the individual things that were said in individual
Gevatic.
Speeches,
yeah.
What one outcome do you think has come from this year's Guardek that we can
that we'll look back in a year's time and say, yeah, that actually happened.
I know. You actually got some free beer, as in free. I
got a phenomenal amount of free beer.
You bastard.
It was. See, I'll get into that. what was the most sort of important outcome?
Yeah, what's the thing that you came away thinking, wow?
I think this...
Don't say the year of the desktop.
No.
I'm going to kick the shit out of him to say that.
No, I think...
Let the man speak.
I think this Guadec was basically sowed the seeds for the next version of GNOME.
Did you sow
which is known as Topaz. And TPZ is 3.0.
Yeah. So that's the whole
thing. There's tons of ideas going around about what's going to go into 3.0. You know, there's Project Topaz, there's Project Soylent, there's Galago, there's all of these different things, which are very sort of related to the same kind of concepts.
Soylent. You mentioned Soylent?
Yeah.
What's Soylent Hill?
I don't know.
But there's just all different things.
It's all about people as top-level objects and, you know, how things are going to change in GNOME 3. Mm. But, of course, the difficult thing about it is you've got six-month time releases.
Okay.
And you can't really do major features within a 6 months.
Yeah.
Where probably a month or two of that is a free.
Is GNOME going to fork?
So, well, what they're talking about is doing is basically opening up another branch in which you'll have all this kind of development stuff.
Is it a branch or fork?
Not really.
Right.
So you'll have a branch and then you'll merge all the stable shit in afterwards.
Ah.
But there was a talk by a guy at DreamWorks. And this was really cool.
The
movie people.
Right.
They've got this film coming out called Madagascar.
Yeah, I think you might have seen that.
It looks hilarity in a box. And he did a typical talk. There's loads of photos of people like doing 3D work on.
Has it been done on Linux?
Linux. Everything's pretty much done on Linux.
Really?
Yeah, and of course the GNOME desktop. And then they showed this kind of clip of Madagascar, and it was hilarious. And, you know, the lights dimmed, and we watched this clip, and people were laughing through it. And then at the end of the clip, everyone clapped. And then the guy just sort of went, made on Linux, made in GNOME. And everyone sort of...
Wicked.
It was one of those end of an American movie moments.
Did you have goosebumps?
Did you throw your hat up in the air?
I felt like being, like, just... I was hoping the whole room would be silent, and then I could just stand up by myself and go... just start clapping. And then everyone sort of goes, yes! And starts hugging each other.
That's the bit you really wanted,
isn't
it?
It's interesting thing about that, though. You know, obviously, I think DreamWorks is owned by the old Jobs boy, isn't it? Steve Jobs of Apple.
Wicked man.
And the interesting thing is that his company, Apple, have produced this very high-end rendering software that was and is used by all the major animation studios.
What's
and
it called, Matt?
I haven't got a clue. But it costs absolute, like...
iRender.
iBender. Anyway.
iCandy.
It cost tens of thousands of dollars to get it, yeah. And it was all done on Apple hardware initially, but
you were
forced...
To press my buttons, aren't you?
No, this is a good story for you, so shut up. They were forced...
He comes here once or twice.
Oh, shut up, Baldy. You can't even be bothered to shave your head properly. So anyway, right?
I get abused now.
Apple were forced to produce this particular bit of software for Linux, because all the students said, no, we want to do it with Linux.
Yeah, that's happened a lot in the 3D world, because it's like Maya.
Did they do Shark's Tale as well? Because I noticed that was on one of the screens.
I know that one of the worst 3D films ever, Sinbad the Sailor or whatever it was made completely in Linux. And that was like one of the first major things.
Was that a porn?
Sinbad and the Seven...
So I'd like to correct myself. DreamWorks isn't owned by Steve Jobs, that's Pixar, but yeah.
Isn't it? Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Fool!
You're a fool.
Shut up, fool!
Yeah, so that was quite interesting. But there was tons of stuff there. I mean, it was kind of like loads of GNOME celebrities as well, which I don't think I've ever
small
seen
small little
before.
Guys wandering around. So, okay, one thing that I thought was really interesting that came out of it was this whole 10x10 thing. Basically, Jeff Waugh, the GNOME release manager and Ubuntu hero, said, all right, guys, what we're going to do is we're going to try...
Do you know, you really sound like Bastian Nocera.
Who's that? Bastian Nocera.
No, Bastian. he's the totem maintainer.
Right.
Everyone thought it was black.
From?
I maintain my own totem.
Just say that again. Just say that again. Just speak like that.
Right, what we're going to do is, with the GNOME 10.10, I don't know.
Yeah. That's all right. The man. Anyway, carry on.
Anyway, basically what he was saying was this J-Dub fella, you know, Jeff Waugh.
It's almost like you were there, Matthew.
Oh, well, I actually watched it streamed, mate, because...
By Fluendo, by any chance?
Lovely stuff. And it was a Theora codec as well. Anyway, basically...
It's too orangey for crows.
What J-Dub said was that the big gnome...
Sorry.
Look, you made me cough now.
Good. Cough, you bastard.
Theora.
Theory.
Theory.
What's that mean?
Apple.
It's too orangey for crows.
Right.
Matthew, get on with it.
The only radio show where we talk about Ubuntu, Umbongo, and fucking Kiora.
Kiora. Do they have Kiora abroad?
I don't know, but
It's an
orangey drink. Carry on.
So, anyway, this whole 10x10 thing is Jeff Waugh's big vision for GNOME. And basically, the idea is to get 10% of worldwide desktop use. That's not just 10% on Linux, but 10% of all desktop computers running GNOME.
Not just Linux, you say?
No.
Windows running GNOME?
Well, Solaris and stuff like that.
BSD or stuff like that. But and I think that's an amazing thing.
Son have got a similar thing to Solaris.
What time frame did you say?
By 2010. So it's called 10x10.
Easy. Son have got a similar...
Okay, that's only 5 years away. 4.5, actually, now.
Yeah.
Piece of cake.
He did have the idea of...
5x5. So that's 5% in 5 years. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do 10x10.
Is that because 5x5 failed? Because it's 2005.
Really already. Sound like Bastion O'Sara. The guy's going to have to stick a sample of himself on the internet so people can understand what he sounds like.
Well, I'm Bastion O'Sara and I listen to Lag Radio.
Like that.
Well, I was just walked into the room. It was, the one thing I've got to talk about is a thing called Pitavi. Which I've
put kebab meat in them. They're gorgeous.
not pita bread, you idiot.
Oh.
Pitavi is a non-linear video editor. I mentioned it in the interview with
Ralphie Boy.
With Ralph. And
every time you say Ralph, I keep thinking of Ralph off The Simpsons.
You know what? It might be Rafe.
I ate my crayon.
Pitavi is this non-linear video editor that's based on GStreamer, which...
GStreamer.
Honestly, looks really good. I mean, the Fluendo guys have obviously done a lot of work on it, but there's a lot of things using GStreamer. Anyway, Pitavi is this video editor thing.
Totem uses GStreamer, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy had written it in C, and then he ported it ported it from C to Python.
Fool.
What
did you do that for?
He spent about 2 months like porting it over and demoed it at at Guadec. And
it's
awesome.
On Red Hat, so it's okay.
No, it isn't.
But it's great because it means
why would you port it to a lesser language?
What do you mean a lesser language?
To make it more
performance-wise.
To make it far easier for people to get involved and start hacking the source.
Well, one thing is that I can start contributing patches to it.
No, you can't.
I can.
You're too lazy. You're a lazy shit. You won't contribute anything.
Okay,
to it.
So
I'm far more likely to contribute a Python patch than a C patch.
So this Pitavi, it's basically the idea is that it would
six patch.
It would give us an opportunity on Linux to do the sorts of things that you can do with iMovie or even Adobe Premiere.
Well, that's the basic thing.
What Premiere?
Adobe.
Adobe.
What would you say? What,
have
you,
Adobe.
Have you seen a novel?
Adobe. It was ridiculous.
Adobe.
You always pronounced it wrong.
Adobe.
Neville.
For a man who tries to demonstrate real skill at language.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't get English right.
You can't fucking say any English right.
Oh, Vata Futra.
Hello, my name is Matahui Ravel.
You're not trying to get a job on the Linux and Tech Show, are you? They pronounce everything wrong.
Yeah.
Hi, guys, by the way.
Yeah.
Love you, really.
Yeah, I mean, look at the other video editors for Linux. Have you ever used Kino or Cinelera?
Not even considered it.
I encourage everyone to go and look at the interface of Cinelera. Just, if you don't download it and use it, it honestly looks like someone shit on your screen. It's the most horrific interface you will ever see.
Didn't someone say at Guadec that we should stop being so nasty about people?
No, more nastiness.
We're inspirational. Yeah, so there's a lot of lug radio listeners at Guadec.
That's scary. I mean, J-Dub mentioned it in his bloody speech.
I know.
Did you hear me whoop? Call him J-Dub
as well. No.
You didn't hear me whoop?
No, but I did hear him go, thanks for the Ubuntu mentions, guys.
Yeah.
Did you actually get your big check?
I didn't have checks.
Ah, right.
So, just going back to the whole, you know, the main thing that you're going to take away from it. Okay, Pitavi's great. 10x10, can we do it? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah,
I'm done, mate.
I tell you what,
good as done.
So Ubuntu and Red Hat that are going to lead that charge, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, there's just
you've been listening to too many speeches. Lead the charge. Jeez,
a marketing boy.
Tons of real enthusiasm there. The thing I notice is that I think a lot of GNOME developers, particularly with version 3, feel a bit lost as to where to go, where to start. Because
really, because
they're really looking for something quite drastically new.
And I think there's a lot of people who just want to keep things fixed in GNOME 2. But there's a lot of people who want to start hacking on GNOME 3, so the best way is to branch it. And that's what JDub was basically
talking
about.
So we talked about the most inspirational one. What about the most jaw-dropping one? Or was it one in the same?
As in jaw-dropping bad or good?
Good.
Yeah, just stunning.
One of the most jaw-dropping things, certainly for everyone, was the XGL demo.
Oh, right, okay, tell us about that.
Dave Friedman, the guy who works on XGL.
Windows.
Well, this is, XGL is the different thing. He did the whole virtual desktops on the side of a cube.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow.
My God, you should have seen it. It was just awesome.
And that will run on my normal PC now.
Well, the cube thing he's releasing, because I asked him whether he was when the code's going to be released.
The Apple Mac OS, and I'm going to say Mac OS X, because not 10, it's X, right? Because that does the cube thing when it switches desktops.
It's very similar.
Is it better?
I don't know, I've not really seen the cube one.
What do you mean you run Mac OS X?
It's free software, mate.
The other thing is, he did a demo with the, he opened up Totem running, I think it was Star Wars or something. And then hung it off the side of the desktop. So, spun the cube around so you had like, you know, the two sides of the cube showing.
Yeah.
And of course the video like perfectly deformed down the side
Excellent.
Of it. So it's like a
Was it translucent
thing.
As well? Could you see the two parts of the
cube? He did
do
some translucency as well.
We love eye candy.
So why did we say that Looking Glass was pointless when we looked at
it? I don't believe I
didn't
said
say
that.
It was pointless.
I know, it's the fat ginger one, wasn't it?
Actually, where is the gink?
Yeah. We've probably talked about that in the intro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Once again, fucking useless.
It was you last time, you bastard.
It wasn't me.
I can't imagine Ack walking around in Italy.
All right, so one last thing then.
Yeah.
One last thing about Guardec.
One last thing.
What was it like meeting lots of people that you've kind of read about and spoken to over the internet, but had never actually had some FaceTime with?
That sounds horrific, doesn't it?
You'd never met them in, what was it? What was the thing that's on IRSB?
IRL.
Yeah, that's it.
In real life. Yeah, let's have an eyeball.
it was kind of weird because I think I'm very much an observer with the GNOME thing. I don't do any GNOME development or anything.
You're sort of GNOME dogging.
So, yeah, basically into GNOME dogging. and so there was, like, loads of people who I recognised, people like, I'll give you
some. Well, the thing is, you're a KDE developer, so, you know, you're only going to be an observer, aren't you?
There are a few gags about that, I can tell.
Were there?
Yes, there were.
They made you gag.
Yeah, there was...
in your face.
There was a couple of KDE developers who were apparently there. Apparently Waldo Bastian, who's a KDE developer, was there.
What?
So you can't love his name.
Where was I?
Yeah, there was tons of people who were obviously on Planet GNOME and stuff like that. And then you meet people who aren't on Planet GNOME, but you just... Well, I'd heard of.
Mm.
A classic example is, have you heard of a guy called Tor Lilkvist?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he was there.
Does he work for Opera or something?
No, he's porting like Evolution and stuff like that to Windows.
Right, and he works for Neville.
He works for Neville, yeah. And I was just talking to a guy in a bar, and it was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were absolutely hammered to fucking smithereens.
On free beer.
On novels.
Really?
On their beer. They did like a... There was a Guardec party where you paid €10, and you went along and you got four beers or something with a couple of coupons. And then Neville decided to pay for it. So I already had some money in my pocket. Paul, who was with me, decided he wasn't going to drink. So he gave me his coupon. So I had 8 free beers. Oh, it's great. And I was chatting to these guys, and then I was just chatting to this chap, and I was saying, you know, about Tor Lilkvist, and then he was actually stood next to me.
All right, cool.
It was kind of like, that's kind of weird.
Were you saying, the only autograph I haven't got is Tor Lilkvist? And then there he was.
Yeah, and I got him to sign my autograph book.
And which is a euphemism for penis, right?
That's right, yes. Bizarrely, the next morning I woke up and I saw that I've actually got his number in my phone book. So I'm not entirely sure what happened. So if there's a delay on Evolution being ported to Windows, I might have had a hand in that, literally.
Nice one.
I recommend people go to Guardec.
Yep,
great.
Next year I'll be there if I can.
Obviously, if it's between Guardec and Lug Radio Live, you know, choose Lug Radio Live.
Obviously.
Definitely, yeah.
But,
it's going to be even more awesome.
Weeks ago, we spoke to Welsh superstar Alan Cox.
Yeah, we did.
Colonel Hacker Extraordinaire, and he mentioned something. Which
I remember it well.
He mentioned a few things.
Yeah, well, he did. He mentioned something that got Aid thinking.
It did get me thinking.
Did it
Matthew?
Get you going, Aid?
And
it didn't get me going. It got me thinking, Jono.
Would you like me to tell the audience what it was?
Go for it. Okay. You can explain it better than I can.
Basically, the idea was that Unix is 35 years old.
Yep. Something like that.
It's a 35-year-old idea, and we're now at the white heat cutting edge of operating system technology, trying to replicate a 35-year-old operating system with Linux. Why are we doing that?
Depends on your view.
Mm.
Depends whether you think that we're replicating like Linux. Replicating
that units. A machine would start up and be roughly the same shape all the time, whereas these days we plug USB devices in and et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah, so why are we trying to bend...
And it just got me thinking, yeah, why are we trying to re-implement a 30-year-old operating system? Why don't we just start again?
I don't think we are.
We are. We're trying to drag something that's already 30 years old, and we're trying to put bits of tape on here and bits of...
Which technology in the last sort of 3 or 4 years has re-implemented Unix technology? Which development in Linux? Yes, all of the
kernel?
Old...
Yeah,
yes, no, that's a continuation. I'm right. on about which new technology.
But that's my point. Why are we continuing? Why don't we just stop, take a step back, look at what we need, and don't necessarily base it on... Because we're just trying to rewrite all that old kernel stuff in. All that old functionality.
Basically, but it depends whether you think that it needs to be rewritten.
Look,
because the kernel's been basically modified, so it's not like a Unix kernel.
Yeah, that's my point about we bolt things on, trying to make things work differently, trying to bring the stuff up to date. Why try and bring old stuff up to date? Why not just write it?
And to go back to your question, Jono, the whole thing of what has recently in the past 3 or 4 years been based on Unix. I'd say that the whole HAL, you know, hot plug.
We're trying to work around
it. What we're doing is we're making those part of the whole file system, everything's a file paradigm, which is all part of Unix.
Small elephant.
So, what?
A paradigm is a small elephant, Matthew.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that a pachyderm?
I don't know.
Anyway.
So, what's your objection to starting again? With a new, free and open source
which
operating
could be
system.
Called FOSOS.
It could be called FOSOS or FOS.
FOSOS Freos? Makes it sound quite Greek.
FOSOS.
Yeah.
Why not start again?
I think, well, first and foremost, I mean, you've got to get a shitload of developers on board. I mean,
Skyos did it.
Yeah, I was just about to say Skyos did
really?
It.
Really? I've not looked
admittedly,
Skyos.
They're not exactly open source.
No, but...
This is open source. I mean, so you've got to persuade people who are going to do this in their spare time to completely ditch.
Okay, why not take something like BIOS? Or right. Open BIOS and build on that work. Because that's, at least that's 20 years more up to date.
Yeah, but you're just going to contort that into a different type of operating
system. Yeah, but at least it's already fairly up to date to start with.
What, to kind of take this from a different angle, what kind of...
You like taking it from a different angle.
I certainly do. Thank you. What kind of things do you think we'd need to not implement? So the way we've done things so far, how would you have done it differently?
Not,
you know, the leak kernel hacker that you are.
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, I'm not.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's a thing that's often mentioned by people who have come from Windows background is, I don't understand why the hell some things are in a directory called etc. Some things are in USR. Some things are in SBIN. What's going on there?
Right.
So, maybe things like that. You can maybe make the file structure maybe a bit easier to follow.
You often talk about ABI.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could get around all the things that Linux doesn't necessarily want to happen.
But as we've already discussed, the ABI thing, as much as I think it's a problem,
right?
An ABI thing is the symptom of a community-driven operating system. You can't really maintain ABI stability with a community-driven operating system. It's difficult.
Okay.
I can't argue against that.
From what I've heard. In terms of the file system location, why should people have to care about where files are? The only locations that people should still do
in Linux.
Well,
the people behind the latest
version of OpenBIOS, which is I think the HaikuOS project now, they're saying that the operating system should be administration free.
Yeah,
which is true.
Yeah,
but why can't we achieve that in Linux?
Think about it this way, though. I mean, the only part of your you should only really need to know two directories in your system. That's your desktop directory. I mean, you even shouldn't need to know that, and that's your home directory. You should only need to know where your files are stored, and even then Beagle will get away with that kind of stuff. Yeah. All the rest of it, all of varlib, you know.
It's all an anachronism, and we don't need it anymore. We need to start again.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Because at the end of the day, there's still challenges within operating systems.
Let's simplify it. We don't need...
What we need is a song. Hate something... Change something. Hate something. Change something. Make something. Anyway.
I'm not necessarily saying we absolutely must stop using Linux and start looking at it. I'm just saying, should we think about it?
Yeah.
Or should we just keep going on down this road, bolting bits on?
Yeah, but there are people developing new operating systems from scratch.
Here's the thing, though.
How far have they got?
Nowhere.
Well, that's not Atlas, true. Skyos, things like that. But
yeah, there's lots of other operating systems out there.
Here's a little bit of a devil's advocate style argument.
Ooh,
against you.
You're a devil's advocate.
There's a company, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're based in California called Apple. And what they do is...
you're a bastard.
They've
you know.
Got this operating system, which they had millions of dollars to develop.
And it's actually called Mac OS X, not 1.0.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right, okay, whatever. But they based this brand new all-singing, all-dancing operating system on fucking BSD.
Yeah.
That's Unix.
Yeah.
In the same way the Linux is Unix.
So because they did
a Unix derivative.
This is a really good point that Matt's making.
So it worked for them, so we should emulate it.
No. What I'm saying is, just hear me out, guys. Hear me out.
Yeah.
Hear me out, guys.
Anyway,
come on, Matt. Come on. What I'm saying is, in evolution, in the survival of the fittest, there are certain things that work.
Aye.
So it just happens that the best way for humans to work, it appears, is to be bipeds with arms and beards. Now, maybe we've reached a stage in operating system development that Unix just happens to provide the best framework. So, whereas it's good in Star Trek and other things for everything to be humanoid, in operating systems it's good things for things to be Unix derivative, perhaps.
That
I don't know.
That's not true at all, though, is it?
Well, tell me it's not. Tell me, come on.
The thing is,
if you look at SkyOS, it was smaller, faster, simpler.
Yeah, and you had the same level of functionality that's in Linux, and let's see how fast and small it's going to be.
It already had that functionality.
It doesn't have the same level of functionality.
The thing is, BIOS was incredibly small, incredibly fast.
Ah, yes, but for about 15 years ago.
But I've seen the same kind of objection. The same kind of thing that you're talking about is being applied in a similar sort of way to the X project. People have been banging on for years, and I did when I was younger and fairly inexperienced with the desktop.
With girls.
With girls. When I was inexperienced with the girls, you know.
He calls it the X project, but you know what
You know, people were saying, oh, we should get rid of X. You know, we shouldn't be using this dinosaur technology.
Yep.
It's slow and it's shit and all the rest of it.
Keep going.
And all of those complaints seem to be dropping now.
Because
we've got X.org. Yeah. And the reason for that is because basically the technology back then, X386, was shit and old.
Mm.
Because it wasn't being maintained and changed and developed and with current times. Now with X.org, people have added all the kind of transparency composition kind of stuff, you know, compositing rather. The people have added all, you know, XGLs come in. So it's changing with the times. The technology itself isn't bad. Now, that's what's happening with Unix.
Are you sure it's not bad, though? Or is it just that it's a lot easier to...
I just think
there's too much momentum behind Linux for people to even consider, actually, you know, should we actually stop this and start afresh?
But the point is that for users don't care what goes on in the background. Yeah, developers care, but
they
developers
care about
are technical people anyway.
Bar, lob, init,
no,
dot,
they don't.
Bollocks and all that being
no,
stupid.
No, they don't. I think a lot of users...
That confuses people.
I think a lot of users who use the Linux desktop now will not have to touch, etc.
Because you're hiding all that stuff from them.
That kind of stuff is being hid from them, and that kind of stuff
is still there.
It's still there in the same way the Windows registry is still there, but you don't touch it. Most people don't touch the Windows registry, but it's still there.
Most people don't touch the Windows registry.
I'd say most.
No, they definitely
most
don't
Windows
make,
users
definitely
do not.
Not
touch the Windows registry.
Okay, maybe
right?
I know different Windows users
to do
that.
Yeah, and the reason why people don't touch it is because there's tools to provide a useful interface for them. You know, if you look behind a wall, it doesn't matter what's behind there, as long as you've got a good interface to access it. You know, you can have
what?
The most... You can have,
sorry.
You can have, you know, you can have...
What?
All, I get your point.
You can have all kinds of shit in the operating system in the most ridiculous...
As long as you've got a pretty wall in front of it.
As long as you've got a pretty wall in front of it.
Now, I've seen that kind of thinking when I was in Corfu. Nice pretty garden, nice white wall, other side of the wall, fucking washing machines, and all that shit chucked over there.
Do you still live in Corfu?
Crap. No, I didn't used to live there. I'm not saying that we should definitely do it, but I think we should just at least be prepared to sit back a little bit and say, hang on, let's just think about, is this a good... Shall we keep doing this, what we've just
been
doing?
Let's think the unthinkable at all times, otherwise we'll never stretch our brains.
Yeah, completely. I completely agree that you should always consider things.
You've got to be prepared to stop and examine,
how
are we doing the best thing?
But you've also got to stop and examine whether... Just knocking everything down and starting from scratch is the best way of doing things.
But you can
That doesn't tend to work in anything else.
You can start from scratch and bring in everything that you've learnt from the last project.
Yeah, but you still need to have a massive momentum to make that happen. If basically two or three people decided, I think we need to make a new equivalent to Linux, a free software operating system that's more fixes a load of things. Unless they get a lot of developers behind a lot of projects behind it, you're still going to end up, even if you've got a new kernel, you're still going to end up with basically GNOME on it, because you're not going to have a usable system until you actually replace all of the important components.
Yeah, Sky. I don't think it would be as difficult to replace it as if you weren't trying to emulate Unix and build the stuff on top of it.
I think you understand. SkyOS is all pretty much just free software on top of it. It uses GCC, it uses Firefox, it uses OpenOffice.
I think you basically, you're underestimating just the sheer amount.
They wrote BIOS. I remember BIOS starting, and I remember they actually being a desktop available, and it wasn't long.
Would it be harsh to say how quickly it failed as well?
Yeah, look what happened with BIOS. That was the general idea. It was going to provide this whizzy new operating system, and no one bought into it, so it didn't develop. And
we should just keep using our old clunky stuff then.
But most people are happy with it. The point is that most people want to provide easier ways to access what we've got.
Most people are trying to fix stuff that's old and antiquated and drag it.
But how is name me something that's old and antiquated. Give me examples.
File system.
X3. X3 is a cutting edge journaling file system.
Riser FS as well.
FS.
Yeah.
How is that? That's cutting edge. From what I can gather, that's a lot
Look
more.
Look at all the crap.
Isn't that a lot more cutting edge than VFAT, which 95% of people on the desktop seem to be using, or NTFS?
Do you think it's more? Do you? Yeah.
I don't know anything about file systems.
Riser FS certainly is.
I don't know anything about file systems. Let me clarify.
Just start
this.
Talking about your wall again.
I have less interest in file systems than I do in source control. Yeah, it's that fucking dull. So, but the point is that X3 is perfectly suitable. And what do users care about?
Here's the crucial
file
point,
system,
though,
right?
No. Plug a USB device in. You've got to build, like, 30 different systems just to get this to auto-mount. We're also amazed that we've got the fucking file system to auto-mount shit now.
So when
look at the work it's taken
to
do that.
Pain in the ass
so Aid,
why is it taking all that work?
So
it's
Aid,
because we're trying to bring an old system up to date.
Yeah, admittedly, you've got the kernel, and then you've got Hotplug, and you've got UDEV, and you've got HAL, and you've got all these bits and pieces. So the last time you were looking through the Microsoft source code, how does it work then, Aid?
What's that got to do with anything?
Imagine the gesture I'm about to make.
Well, hang on a minute. What's that got to do with anything?
The point I'm making is you're making out as if the current system is a really antiquated old system.
Which it is.
But you don't really know how the competition do it.
Right.
You've still got to mount disks in Windows. You've still got to mount disks in Linux.
You've still got to put money on the fact that it was not going to take as many processes and systems and daemons to have a USB device mounted.
I think the crucial thing is...
Interested.
The crucial thing is that...
That's just one example.
Thanks to our lovely free and open software licenses, everyone who wants to is free to go off and start creating a new operating system.
Absolutely, yeah.
And let them dazzle us. If you're doing something like that, fucking tell us about it.
I have a suspicion this is going to be talked about
a lot. It's going to be controversial. I like to be controversial, Johnny.
You do.
Yeah, at least
he's got an opinion this time, unlike the Mac Mini thing. But he kept changing your views every 5 minutes.
I didn't change my opinion.
You notice it's the Intel Mini now. I've seen that.
Is there?
Intel are bringing out something made by some Taiwanese company. And it's going to look exactly like a Mac Mini. But it's going to have, listen to this, it's going to have an XP license and an Intel Pentium M. Both of which cost more than the Mac Mini does anyway, retail. Yeah.
Just go out and buy a Mac Mini. It's great.
Oh, very quickly, talking about Microsoft.
Okay. Come on, then.
Did you see the patents thing?
Well, no.
They now have the patent on saving stuff out as XML.
You're joking.
No.
That's fucking nuts, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it Wookiee with the Debian project?
Oh, yes.
He's called it... I can't remember what he called it, but it was something like atrocious or something like that. There is outrage about it.
That is just unbelievable. Oh,
there's definitely prior art to that, though.
This gives you added sort of, you know, wind behind your wings with the whole anti-software patent movement, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you what, you know, Rufus and you guys, you need to keep the work up with the whole anti-software patent
Yeah, never
thing.
Mind going on bloody Edinburgh for...
How can you patent saving stuff out as XML?
I don't know.
But they've done it. They've awarded it to him.
Yeah. Do you reckon we should patent going around to Microsoft offices and shitting on their doorstep?
That's prior art, I think.
Lord, it's the end of the show.
It is indeed.
Two things we should talk about.
So.
Some emails. And Lug Radio Live.
And Distro Wars, that's three.
Carry on.
You're all complete bastards.
There's the ghost of Stuart Langridge talking to us from Venice, where he's gondoliering down having just one cornetto.
How'd you make a Venetian blind?
That's poking him in the eyes. So, anyway.
Worst joke ever, isn't it?
Just before we get onto the emails.
Not as bad as that shit joke you said earlier on. What was that crap joke? I can't remember what it was. You said some shit joke.
It must have been really
good. I'm glad... No, we weren't recording, so I'm pleased. If you want to guess what age shit joke is, send an email. Okay, so let's talk about emails.
Well, before we do that, should we just mention what's happened to Distro Wars?
No.
All right.
Let's let it be a mystery.
Like,
yeah.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle of open source radio.
Okay, that's fine by me.
Whatever.
Okay.
Who's going to start us off?
Can I start?
Well, you can please get do. Me going anytime.
Okay. Well, we had an email from someone called Sep.
Nice one.
What's he called?
Sep. So Sep sent us an email saying, "Hello, I recently ran across your great show and I really enjoy it. Distributions that you might want to cover are Mandrake or Mandriva, Slackware." And he basically
thanks for that.
It's an interesting email. He says, "I love the British accents. Keep up the good work."
What else are we supposed to use?
I don't know. We should maybe speak in clicking noises, as we always covered before.
French accents.
Ubuntu and Fedora are my preferred distros, even though he suggests the other two. And they keep their installs simple. Very interesting. Thanks for that, Sip.
Simon Hasty has written in.
Someone pasty.
Exactly what you just said. He said he wanted to give us some more information about the clipboard. Well, it's something to do with Perl. It's all very... I'm very bored of the clipboard now. Are you bored of the clipboard?
I can't... Yeah, that's it.
This is me screwing Gary Miller.
We love you anyway, Simon Hasty. Pasty.
He's quite pasty.
Simon Hasty, he's quite pasty.
He's quite pasty.
Two small ducks that were 22.
He's a bingo number, isn't he? Yeah.
Legs 11, two fat ladies, Simon Pasty.
Anyway, Matt, read something out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Robert, here's a good
Redford.
One. No, Robert Strand. It says, "Morning, folks. This is Robert from Norway. Just wanted to tell you that you guys rocks. Thanks a lot."
Thank you. And what, we use rocks?
No, just we do rock.
Oh, right.
"And that you are doing a great job." Well, actually, my boss was talking to me and saying, I don't think he's quite convinced by that. Anyway, "If ever I go to England, I will come by and take a cup of tea." Look, you're not stealing any fucking tea off me, mate.
No, he's not having any tea.
Not having any tea off
Matthew,
me.
Do you drink Earl Grey?
No, I drink Fair Trade Organic.
Nice.
From Waitrose.
Really?
Talking about tea, I had to laugh at Axe Blog. Perfect cup of tea. Did you see it?
Oh,
he said, "Take a tea bag."
Right.
And I'm like, straight away, you're like,
I know.
What?
Well, inside
then he's
already.
Like, make sure the water is boiling.
No.
Again, wrong.
No, surely not.
What a foolish man he is.
He's, yes.
You have your
fair trade tea?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a special tea that I buy that is made up of kittens.
Oh, right, yeah. It's
yeah. Delicious,
have you
seen
that monkey pig tea?
No.
What?
Monkey dick tea?
I've seriously not seen monkey pig tea.
No.
They sell it on Firebox.
Peachy tips.
No. They've trained little monkeys to go and pick tea.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's for sale on Firebox.
Firebox.com. Yeah.
Like the PG Tips monkeys. I did one.
No, not really. They're actually real.
Right, okay.
Oh. Yeah, Aid.
Yeah, okay. Right, hi guys, says Aid's Ben monkey. Thorpe, also known as Octothorpe.
He never commented about that.
No, he didn't.
No.
I just thought I'd let you in on a couple of ideas for your competition.
Speaking of, I've got a competition thing in here. Carry on.
Shut up.
Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Number one, he said you could name the Linux command from the man page description.
That sounds really exciting, that does.
Shut up. Number two, you could name the O'Reilly book from the animal on the cover.
That sounds a lot more exciting.
Horse! Bit, man!
It's a little bit spotty,
running
but that's
Linux.
Fine. Or number three, he said you could just offer a prize for the LAN gaming.
That, yeah, we should
that's
do
possibly,
that.
Possibly, yeah.
Anyway, apart from that, thanks for the great show. Brilliant community has sprung up around it. Aid is the best presenter, and hail the scrotal humour. He didn't actually say Aid was the best presenter.
Oh, right. Imagine my surprise.
Cheers, Ben.
Rob Pierce sent us an email with an idea for another competition.
Rob has been pierced.
Yeah, I think he has.
Rob's pierced son.
He says, my idea for Logradio live competition, best lookalike to Tux. Maybe.
Oh, that's easy. Roundhead will win that.
Yeah, the Masters with the roundest head is probably going to... And he's got a beak as well. we should fill people in on what this competition thing is. We basically, for people who haven't heard
the last
show...
They should just listen to the last show.
Yeah, they should be shut.
Yeah, just go and listen to it.
Go and listen to it. We should tell them.
No, go on, let's tell them.
They're being lazy.
You're a bit of a Hitler, aren't you, when it comes to competition?
Look at the beard.
Explains a few things. Toothbrush beard. So basically...
Yes.
The competition is, we've got some good stuff to give away in our competition at Log Radio Live. If you can come up with a competition, what that should be, then you'll get something as well, which is a subscription to Make Magazine.
Yeah.
That's Make Magazine.
And of course, the actual competition...
Are you on
the competition? Competition.
The actual competition that happens, there'll be a prize for that.
Yeah.
100 quid worth of O'Reilly books.
O'Reilly?
Oh, really?
Alderson suggests...
Oh, no, you've just done one. It's all my
right,
turn.
Right, I've got one here from Andrew.
Oh, no, turns up when he wants.
Did I do Robert? Anyway.
Yes.
Got one from Andrew Mason here, who says, hi, having entered the UK today from Adelaide, Australia. Yes, I still have my tickets and Adelaide is a effing long way south.
It is.
I was delighted when I downloaded...
It's also a fucking long way south.
I was downloaded... Basically, he's come all the way from Adelaide to the UK, and he's coming to LRL.
He hasn't actually come for LRL.
No, he hasn't come for LRL, but he's coming to it.
The jury's hung on this one, I believe.
Can he win
the competition?
We'll put it out to our listeners. Can he win the competition for furthest coming person?
He hasn't come this way just for Lug Radio Live. He certainly gets him free for being an international traveller, by the way.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
So the suggestion is that we have a runner-up.
Right,
so somebody who basically...
he gets a picture of a subscription.
Yeah, he gets a picture.
He gets a sniff.
He gets a subscription to Make Magazine.
or PDF.
Maybe we should photocopy it and send it to him.
I don't think O'Reilly would like
OCR
that.
OCR it.
Fair play for coming all that way.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was just to see us, really.
We will reward you in some way.
Yeah, we can't talk about it on air, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably illegal.
Aid the bald.
Yes, I have an email from Albin Anderson.
Albran Anderson.
He said, why not have a little robot war?
Well, should we go into the details
how many robots have you got?
It says, take a look at realtimebattle.sourceforge.net.
There's only one person who's ever owned a robot.
Take a look at www.bluefire.nu/droidbattles/screenshots.html.
Only one person.
Just that, Albin. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not a bad idea. And he's from Sweden, by the way.
Oh, nice. Right. So he's not an albino.
Thanks very much, Albin.
What?
Albino.
Albino. Is that like, as opposed to all dandy? Waka waka waka. Fucking comics.
Oh, right, yeah. Oxford was
a bit
of
tumbleweed blown past.
Jesus Christ, you guys are slow. Hi guys, I'd like a concession to Lug Radio Live, please.
No, fuck off.
Mainly because I'm a cheap and skanky student.
Certainly not, then.
He's draining all the money from your wage packet.
Damn right.
Like a modern-day money-sucking vampire.
Yep,
as opposed to an old-day money-sucking vampire. That's from Matt Moore, who is Abermat on the forums and whatnot.
He's coming anyway.
He's coming
anyway. He's taking it anyway, hasn't he, sir?
Matt, yep, you got the concession. Nice one.
I told him already. Jonathan E. Magan, our friend Yonkeltron of blueface monkey.com, he says, just out of curiosity, I assume that's how he talks, is there any chance of getting...
Is he American,
some?
Man?
Yeah, he's from Philadelphia.
He is, yes.
La, 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 la,
I never
la.
Touched her.
Philadelphia. Is there any chance of getting some of the episodes hosted on a Gopher server? What are you talking about? He goes, not that HTTP and FTP are bad, but it's nice to remember our roots. I'll tell you what, we'll do it all in text files for you, mate.
How about we mail him just a disc or something, or a cartridge, a tape cartridge?
I know.
Vinyl.
We'll get it sent out on punch cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ideal. There you go, Yonkers.
No, it's not going to be on Gordon the Gopher. Anyway, Aid, have you got any more? You're out.
I'm empty. All right. I just spent.
All right, we've got another one. This is from Christian Gross, which is rather gross. I wish people would stop considering Java, .NET, Python, or Perl programmers as dumber, less smart, or less capable.
Well, they are, by definition.
He uses a great... I was going to say algorithm, analogy. Jesus, it's all this talk of C++. He says, to put this into context, compare the screwdriver to a power screwdriver. Sure, you can use a regular old screwdriver to put together your IKEA furniture, but you only do that for one or two furniture pieces. Most everybody, and here is the rub, professional carpenters, movers, etc., all use power screwdrivers because it makes more sense and allows them to do things faster and more efficiently. I think he makes a great point.
That's not a great point.
He makes a brilliant point.
If you're a proper craftsman, you use proper tools. You don't use electric
tools.
Yeah,
you use proper tools, exactly.
No,
my tool is appropriate
tool.
To the
no,
job.
No.
Oh, shut up.
All right, everybody, send Aid hate mail.
Okay. Yeah,
send email address.
Hate mail at Lug Radio.
Aid at bald,
just
bald
forwards
man.
To me.
Aid at
read
bald,
the bald, bald man one out. You've got it in your hand, Johnny.
Have I?
Yeah.
You.
The other hand.
Oh, it just says, you bald, bald man.
Is the best
phrase. Best phrase on Lug Radio. Sorry, Aid. That's by Ian Ure.
Go on and say it.
Actually, it says, apparently his name is Munka.
Munka. Ian Ure. He's coming to Lug Radio Live as well.
Yeah. I'm going
to
spank him.
Here's the thing.
Aberfragsock.com, by the way.
Ed Barrett has emailed us.
No, he hasn't.
Well, He has a few times, but he's also talked on the IRC.
Okay.
He says, listeners should be able to submit their DIY software for review and discussion, much like the iRiver thing you've discussed. Yeah, okay. So, guys, if you've got anything interesting that you've been hacking together, little neat
with
solution.
The emphasis on interesting.
Yeah, and it's got to be something small, something where we don't have to learn, like, a Blender interface or something like that.
I think this would be really cool.
Yeah,
it'd be great to hear, like, people, particularly, like, really sort of different sort of hacking projects, like the Spline Boy.
Brilliant, yeah. Tell us about it.
Not just hardware hacking, obviously.
So. And, yeah, let us know, and we will hopefully mention it on the show if it's any good.
Nice one. So, Log Radio Live gets ever, ever, ever closer.
It does.
This is the penultimate show before. That means
it is.
Last but one.
It's turning into something pretty mental. There's tons of people coming.
It really, really is, isn't it?
It's going to be brilliant.
I think the term snowball.
Snowball.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I think it's snowball.
Isn't that an act?
Yeah. Please, no.
What?
Matt doesn't like that. We'll explain afterwards, Aid. It's past your bedtime. We've got...
really took me in.
I've got a page full of things related to Log Radio Live.
Oh, I'm going
to
read them out.
This is for people who have obviously not...
How retro.
Not heard about
this. It's on the interweb as well.
It is. It's on the interweb. Right.
I'll tell you something. I'm excited.
I'm bloody excited.
I'm aroused.
Do you want to hear the big announcement?
No.
I don't want to hear it.
Mark Shuttleworth.
Mark your words.
Mark Shuttleworth. Yep. The founder of Canonical, the guy behind Ubuntu, is coming to Log Radio Live.
Woo!
He's going to be doing a talk. Other shows will call it a keynote. We're going to call it a talk. He's going to do a talk about something.
Ubuntu, probably.
And he's probably going to be taking part in the masturbate as well.
Excellent.
So he's going to be... which is like a discussion panel thing. He's not actually going to be masturbating. Anyway, Mark Shaw,
well, we don't know that.
Mark Shaw is going to be there. Do you know he's actually going to be flying here in a helicopter?
Wow.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Helicopters are so
nice. Is technology like that allowed in Wolverhampton?
I don't know. They might shoot it down thinking it's some kind of oversized pigeon.
Look at the demon in the sky! I need a poi!
Yeah, so we've got Mark Shuttleworth.
Was that your impression of Sparks?
No, it's just all my neighbours going to kill me now.
Right, so I'm going to run through
Mark
these
names. Mark Shuttleworth, though, that's pretty
Run through
names.
Them, Jono.
We've also got Ian Bell. We've got Bill Thompson. Gervais Markham.
No, I didn't.
Sarah Ewan. Simon Willison. Andrew... the Spline Boy.
Yes.
Drew McClellan. Robert Postel. We've got Christian Schaller. He's a new addition, isn't he? He's from Fluendo.
Yep, Fluendo Boy.
Who are based in Barcelona. He's travelling all the way from Barcelona.
Barcelona.
We've got the round-headed John Masters. We've got James Wallbank. We've got Colin Watson. And we've got Dan Barron. We've also got Jonathan Riddell is coming down as well from KDE.
Yeah.
And this is going to...
And Rufus Pollock will also be taking part in the masturbate.
He certainly will. Some of these names are going to be in the masturbate. Some of them are going to be doing talks on the main stage and on the lightning talk stage. The lightning talk stage is going to be looked after by MC Adam Sweet.
MC Adam Sweet.
MC Sweet. Sweet.
Otherwise known as Drinky Man.
Do your impression. Go on.
I'm not going to do my impression of him. No, I'm
not. Go on.
No, I'll do that.
He's
on
the guy.
Evening.
He's the guy who did the Ubuntu. They drink it in the jungle. Jingle for us as well.
Indeed.
He's a cool bloke, and he's coming out on the drink for.
And he's about as short as me as well.
But you wear high heels.
A bit of proportion then.
Do you want to hear about the exhibitors?
Yeah, go on then.
The exhibitors. So we've got tons of exhibitors.
They've snowballed. It's gone from like one.
It went from like three that we originally had,
and then we realised we had like room for 17.
I don't even know if we can fit them in there.
No, we can. We measured up.
Awesome. So we've got Debian.
Can you have a double decker stand? Like a bunk bed.
We could, yeah, we could do. We could get people to come in on stilts. so we've got Debian, Ubuntu, Red Hat, Linspire, CentOS, Scundog, OpenAdvantage, the InfoPoint Project, Bytemark, KDE, O'Reilly with their 30% discount on all of their books throughout the entire day.
You're so getting 30. A bump from that.
Linux Desktop Hacks is going to be in good supply.
Are you going to be signing copies?
If people want to ruin their books, I'm happy to write all over them. UK Linux, with Brian Tiemann, is going to come down and sell some stuff. We've got OpenOffice. We've got the Wine Auto Package and Code Weaver stand.
That's going to be cool.
We've got the Association for Free Software.
AFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFF
Yeah, perhaps we ought to provide sunglasses on the way in.
I think we should just...
Do you think sunglasses will block laser beams, Matthew?
Special ones.
I think we should just lock them in a cupboard. And then we're going to have Clockwork Software also going to be there.
Really. Clockwork Orange. Do you think they're going to, like, peel open people's eyes and make them look at their software?
Possibly.
To the music of Beethoven.
This is how lawsuits get started.
Hey!
Now, the paintball,
ooh,
they're sold out.
Yeah, you're too late.
Too late.
24 people are going to get their asses shot off. There will be a prize.
There's a prize, another competition.
The biggest bruise.
The biggest bruise. If you
now, put some effort in for this one.
Yeah.
It's probably going to involve getting shot in the same place more than once, I think.
But don't do a PJ and Duncan and get blinded, because we don't want that to happen. But if you still want to come along, we reckon that you could probably...
Go back, what was that reference?
Oh, Biker Grove. It's a British TV.
Ah, oh, right, okay.
PJ. Children's show.
What's that TV?
Anton Deck. Do you know Anton Deck?
TV?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, yes.
So you could probably go direct to Delta Force. The link is on the website, I think.
Yeah. If you want to come and...
If you want to come along and...
This was the discounted tickets.
Yeah, that would cost you quite a bit more.
So it's debatable whether you'll be able to get any more, because there's 24 of us actually going... That are booked and confirmed.
Mm. That might be the maximum amount of people that can play in one game. So
there will be food, should you want to purchase it. It is extra.
Yeah, okay. And you get 100 paintballs with it, don't you?
You get 100 paintballs free of charge.
Which we're all going to unload
you
in the first game
your own
at John Masters, which is going to be cool.
You can't bring your own paintballs. We're still
or
working
your own
out.
Gun.
No, I'm still working that one out. I've emailed them. I'm not sure. I don't see why you shouldn't be able to bring your own gun.
Okay.
But you certainly won't be able to bring your own paintballs.
Right.
Right.
There will be a barbecue on the day. £3.45.
Really?
That's a random price.
Seriously.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the other things. People have been asking about when they've got to get there, when they've got to leave.
Yeah.
The day is basically going to pretty much kick off at, I'd say, it's pretty much going to be between 11 and half 11, isn't it?
Yeah, that's when we'll be opening
the doors. I thought
the doors
were open at 11:30.
Yeah.
Sharp.
The doors are going to, we might have to open
them. They might get stampeded down before that.
Yeah, we'll open the doors about 11 probably.
So if we open them at 11, we're going to pretty much kick off at half 11.
Yeah.
So if everyone wants to get there, I mean, preferably get there early. I mean, if you know, we'd like a queue.
But going back a bit, there's going to be a pre-Lug Radio drinky poo on the
Friday night.
All right, yeah, yep.
A lot of people come up to stay in hotels.
If you're going
to
do that, then email us show@lugradio.org and we can all meet up in town in Wolverhampton on the Friday night.
I think we'll probably stick something on the internet so just randoms can come along. So we'll so people know where we're going.
And the day itself will end probably about 6 o'clock, we reckon, now.
Yeah.
Although it might drift a little bit past that.
No, we've got to be clear of the venue by 7. So.
We were originally going to finish around 5-ish, but we've been told we can have the venue for an hour extra. It depends on how long it's going
to
take us.
We've got 1 hour to get everything out of the venue.
That's the thing that concerns me.
Man.
So I think we're going to have to probably finish probably
an hour
about,
to get Lang Gaming out of there.
I think we're going to probably finish about half 5. And then that gives us an hour and a half to get all of our shit out.
Yeah.
So
there's a prize for the Lang Gaming winner, isn't there?
There's going to be.
Hopefully,
we don't know what it is.
Yep.
Probably a subscription to Make Magazine.
That's Make Magazine.
I think we've got a couple of Oscon tickets as well to give away. So we'll decide on that. Euro Oscon tickets that O'Reilly are going to be donating.
Nice.
Or possibly one. I'll have to check my email to see what Josette
nice
said.
Nice one. I think we've got some, there'll be some other things going on as well.
Okay. So after the event, there will be?
There will be a drinking, arrangement, on the
evening.
This is on top of the all-day bar.
Indian food.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go to one of two restaurants.
two restaurants.
Now, there is the one that we go to for Wolf's Lug, where people have talked about the funky pie.
Oh,
that's called the Standard. The food's all right. It's not brilliant, but it's certainly edible and enjoyable.
And it's cheap.
And it's very cheap.
£7 for three courses.
It can't be that. It's just a good all-round Indian restaurant.
Then there's going to be a horrendous amount of drinking.
There is likely to be an enormous amount, particularly...
John, tell us about your drinking experiences at Gladek.
He already has.
No. Tell us about the particular last night's worth of drinking.
What about the last night's worth of drinking? What did I say?
Wasn't it particularly heavy?
It was unbelievably... It was...
Did you not drink so that you couldn't see anymore?
Really? The day after, I couldn't actually focus on anything.
For all the day?
Until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And whenever I walked, I was dizzy.
Oh, mate.
I know, it was just ridiculous. So,
Lug Radio does not condone that kind of action. We do applaud it.
we don't condone it. So, on the evening, something very important to point out is that when we meet up in the Standard, we're also going to have, people can take their own drinks.
Yep.
Now, because, for example...
Don't take each
of us. One of the funniest things about the Standard is that if you buy a pint of Coke, they basically, you can watch them pour it out of a normal bottle from Tesco's, and they'll charge you £2 a pint, or £2.50 a pint.
And so they won't flinch.
So just bring your own drinks.
Yeah.
They'll happily put them in the fridge for you.
Will they?
Yeah, they'll stick them in the fridge for you. So bring your own drinks. The food's
The food's pretty decent.
The food's fine. I mean,
yeah. Now remember, when we're out drinking, you must remember we've got paintball in the morning, and it starts sharp at 9:15.
And it's in Shirley, which is not Wolverhampton.
It's non-refundable. Yeah. So
it's going
to
be
drag your hungover ass over to Shirley.
Yeah.
So we can shoot you.
It's going to be brilliant. The fact that there's so many hungover people
Geeks.
Running around.
Guns.
So that's going to be happening on the Sunday.
Yep. There's still room in LRL official hotel number 2. The quality and the details are on the website.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I mean, man, this is going to be awesome. This is, what, 3 weeks away now? Mark Shuttleworth?
Yeah.
Mark
Shuttleworth, Ian Bell, Bill Thompson.
This is awesome.
I mean, there's tons of stuff going on. And let's not forget that, of course, there's going to be the Masturbate, which is going to be panel discussion.
Yep.
Where you can ask your questions.
Of people like Bill Thompson and Mark Shuttleworth.
Yep. As long as you keep it civil.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't, then we'll have Ack drag you out the room.
Ack will give you a branded chewing.
And we're going to have the LAN gaming, of which Mr. Ben was talking about. Sort
language
of about
is gay, did you say?
No.
Okay.
No. There's LAN gaming.
Language is gay?
Yeah, that's right.
Right, okay.
There's going to be language is gay.
Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
With the Adlib soundtrack. Do you remember Adlib sound cards?
Oh, God, yes.
We're not going down that memory lane.
Okay. What else have we not covered?
Mate, basically...
Do you not think that's enough for the weekend?
No. What you've forgotten is there's going to be the first ever live with an audience recording of Log Radio.
First live recording.
That is going to be awesome because what's going to happen is we're going to be sitting there going, ha, 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 yeah. And the audience will be going, ha, ha, ha.
Hopefully.
Much along with us, yeah.
We're really looking forward to this, aren't you?
Mate, it's going to be flipping awesome.
And it is important to point out we are going to have...
you will see that Studio does have radio hair.
Yeah.
Stuart, even.
Hello, my name's Studio Langridge.
That's right. We're also going to have, a mic on the audience so your guffaws can be heard.
And your laughter
as
well.
And your abuse and all the rest of it.
Bring some questions.
And your questions. What did you two say at the same time?
And your questions.
And your questions. And what did you say, you bald individual?
Nothing.
So that's pretty much sums the whole thing up.
Excellent.
Mate.
We've only a few weeks to go. We've got one more episode, which we're going to obviously be pimping the Log Radio Live.
If you miss this event, you're going to kick yourself.
Yeah. Go around, tell your friends.
Seriously, people will look back on this in years to come and say, man alive, I was there.
I
bought the mug. There will be mugs to buy.
It's pretty confirmed there's going to be another one, so just keep going on.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much. We've really enjoyed doing this.
And we'll speak to you soon.
Show@logradio.org, forums.logradio.org, clan.logradio.org, #logradio3node, all that
forums.
Shit.
And take part in the competitions.
Please do.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.